have your Bible, Luke chapter number 1 tonight, Luke chapter 1. Thank you for singing and thank you for sharing the night. Appreciate the voices and the choir and everything that goes on. Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 30. If you find your place there, Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Read down to 38. The Bible tells us, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Father, thank you again for the word of God. Thank you for your will that none should perish. Thank you for the work of God that we can take part in and be your co-laborers and be yoked up together with you to plow the gospel plow. And the fields are white unto harvest, you said in the scripture. I can only imagine if they were white unto harvest back then, how close we are to the harvest being lost tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our church, bless the people here. Thank you for friends and guests today, and thank you for, most of all, your presence. We come, we yearn for it, we long to please you. And then, Lord, I pray that you would receive the praise and the gifts, whatever we can give towards your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated, or you're already seated, okay? That's good. Luke chapter 1 and 2 give a lot of the details that we refer to when it comes to the nativity and the Christmas story, and grateful for the detail of which God wrote those things down for us, and it makes the month of December fun for me. I love to preach about the themes of Christ and the birth and the death, and all of those things are great themes. But sometimes the days of the month or the calendar dictate what we're speaking on and speaking about. But tonight, I want to look at this phrase with Mary, and we'll get down to it from some message that was given to her. But you see that she had found favor. And then, how in the world can this be? How can this be, seeing I know not a man? That passage of creates a problem in everyone's earthly mind, but for us, it creates a trust in our divine mind that God's given to us. How could a virgin conceive and bear a son? Impossible. There's no way. There's no way to explain that. It would just have to be a miracle of God. And why I've asked people this, I used to I use the white robe story a lot, but when I would tell that story, if I knew I was talking to someone of certain faiths, I could ham it up or turn it on a little bit more when it would come to points that might be important for them to hear. And talking with folks that have a respect or an honor for Mary in the Catholic faith, I would always say, why did she have to be a virgin to conceive? What part of the story does that have to do? Why was that essential? And they'd say, you know, I don't know. I've never thought of that. And some, if you would ask the doctor, may think that Mary herself had to be perfect so Jesus could be born perfect, but that's not true. Mary was born from an earthly mother and father, just like everyone else. And in fact, if you got your Bible open, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Look at Mary's words that are recorded here. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, in verse 46, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my what?
Savior.
Well, you only need a Savior if you got sin. Amen. We learned that this morning. Only need a Savior if you got sin. Not to disrespect Mary. She was highly favored and a great lady. faithful all the way to the cross as she was there when Jesus was being crucified. There's no mention in the book of Acts when the first church met. There's Mary still around there. Not that she wasn't the pastor of the church, amen, but she was a great member of the church and part of the church. So what's the purpose of this virgin birth? And you may know this, but I want to explain to you that Jesus is the last Adam tonight. He's not, we sing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, and Second Adam from Above, but actually we could even say it more clearly, it's the last Adam from above. Adam was created perfect and sinless, but in the garden said yes to sin and no to God's will. Jesus was born sinless, and in the garden said yes to God's will and no to sin. He fulfilled everything that Adam left undone. So how could he be born sinless? How could he come from Mary and yet be without sin? And actually, this story goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But to get us there, and we'll get to the message about according to thy word. But look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. Just a little bit of teaching tonight. Have to be careful. My wife said, I'm in the nursery. Don't you preach long after that concert. I got it, honey. I got the message. She's probably listening right now and saying, don't mention my name either. Sorry, already did. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now, that's not that Jesus was created lower than the angels. No, Jesus existed before any angel did. But becoming a man, the Bible says, as a man, that's a little lower as far as the creation order than the angels. For the suffering of death, that's why, so he could suffer death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death. I love this verse. For how many men?
Every man.
There's no man that could not have their death taken by the Lord Jesus Christ. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now here's our verse. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. You see, for Jesus to be able to be a substitute for your and my sin, he would have to have the same flesh that we have for our same sin. An angel could not come and die for you and redeem you. A cherub or whatever of the order of creation could not come and take my place. The Bible tells us that he took part of the same, of flesh and blood. Well, he was God in flesh, I know, but he was still flesh and blood. He thirsted. He bled. All the same things that happened to us, flesh and blood. And in Corinthians, when it talks about him being the last Adam, it goes on to say that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so he would conquer death after he succumbed to it, and then after that have the glorified body that we too will experience one day when we can go to heaven and reign and be there for eternity. So how does this work? Well, it happened back in the garden when Adam and Eve first sinned and Satan had his part and got his just deserves there, and then Adam and Eve both had to leave the garden. And the Bible says that God will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, between her seed and the serpent. The woman doesn't have, quote, women don't have seed. A woman has an egg. But yet the Bible said the seed of the woman would bruise his heel. And in the Garden of Eden, underneath the right in front of all of creation, God created man out of the dust of the ground. He made man from the ground, but he created him a living soul. Why didn't God do that with Eve? There's plenty of dirt. He could have grabbed another pile and formed her and had Adam and Eve both made from the dirt and both right there at the same place. He could have breathed into Adam's nostrils and breathed into Eve's nostrils, but that's not the way he did it. You remember the story. He created Adam, breathed into his nose the breath of life, and then caused a deep sleep to fall on him. Now, he wasn't preaching, and Adam didn't fall asleep, okay? It's not a Baptist sleep, but he performed the first surgery and took out of man a rib, and from that made the woman. It's interesting. Why would God do that? Why didn't he just create two bodies? Why didn't he just make two bodies individually right there and breathe into both of them the breath of life? No, because then they would not be connected and related from each other. But see, we all come from Adam. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have. Now, both Adam and Eve sinned, but what you have is you have inside of Eve part of Adam. She is made from him, and so when Jesus is born just from a woman, all the way tracing it back to Eve, because the seed of the woman, that doesn't exist. Yes, but it's dormant in Eve throughout the generations. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Let me give you a principle. It's a couple of different places. It's in Exodus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, but I'm just going to show it to you in Exodus. You can take the word for it, and you can look at the other ones later if you'd like to. But for sake of time, Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says in verse number 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." It says that God will visit the iniquity of the fathers. It does not say that God will visit the iniquity of the parents or of the mother. You say, well, that's just, you got to read between the lines there, preacher. No, you don't. Look at verse number 12. God could have easily put father and mother in verse number 5. He says, honor thy father and thy mother. In verse 12, both are mentioned. But the principle is given that God would visit the iniquities of the fathers unto the third and fourth generation. What does that mean? Well, it means that just like Cain and Abel already had a sin nature when they were born, you and I have a sin nature, and that sin nature is affected by our parents, but more specifically, our dad. Your father is where you get your sin nature from. Some of you are looking around like, now that explains a lot in my life, right? To the third and fourth generation, there's an effect there. It is. The Bible tells us in Timothy that Timothy got his faith from his mother and his grandmother. But I guarantee you, he got his sin nature from his father. And everyone is born with a father, a sin nature. We're all got a dad. No one's hatched around here. We all have a parent. Now, we have a mother and a father. And I'm not saying your mother's innocent, although mine is. She's listening tonight. She's wonderful. She's just wonderful. I'm not saying your mother's innocent, but she's got the sin nature from her dad above her. The scripture teaches that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. No earthly father involved. That's why it's so important. When Jesus was born, he's born with flesh and blood, just like every other person. Although it's different because there was no man involved with his birth. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? You'll be overshadowed by the power of the highest. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. That which is born, you'll be called the son of the highest, not the son of Joseph. Amazing that God would use what seemingly is a small detail in the garden of making woman from man, but now Jesus is the last Adam. He is on the earth with sinless blood running through his veins, and he's able to be offered on a cross for sinners who should have been slain. The mystery, the magnificence of the plans of God. Oh, when we get to heaven, we'll wonder and talk about all the things and have the inside story. It won't be Paul Harvey telling the rest of the story. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ telling us the rest of the story. But in our passage today, we see that Mary is given these truths about having a child without a man. And why? Because he had to be born this way. Jesus must be sinless so he can be our sinless sacrifice. Even the Passover lambs, they couldn't have a blemish on them if they were going to be appropriate for the purpose of the season. And in Luke, after she gets this message, in verse number 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. How is David his father? Well, that's another interesting story, but if you go through the genealogies, you find that both Joseph and Mary can trace their lineage back to David. And so it would look like, as the son of Joseph, he's right in line with Matthew's genealogy. But if you look closer in the genealogy of Luke, you find that it's actually given through Mary's family line, and both of them go to David, skipping over Jeconias and Jeremiah. And it's amazing all the details that God would do to have Jesus fulfill what had to be Hebrew lineage and purity so that he'd have the right to fulfill the throne of David. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek, but he'll be a king after the family of David. He'll be the son of the highest and have the throne of David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. Boy, it didn't even seem like it could be possible for hundreds of years when there was not a nation of Israel, when there weren't 12 tribes gathered anywhere. They were scattered everywhere. But then all of a sudden, through a chain of events, through World War I and World War II, out in a day pops the nation of Israel. And now it seems like they might even want to build a temple over there someday soon. Right on the same spot, right in the old city of Jerusalem, right around where David wanted to set up the temple himself and was not allowed to build it. Oh, it will come into focus. Remember, you're reading words that were written almost 2,000 years ago. And they didn't have a country for hundreds of years before this was written. Dispersed by Nebuchadnezzar, regathered, and then the Roman Empire destroys Jerusalem 70 AD. All of this happens, and now we're at the tail end, seeing all of it come together in a tapestry that could only be put in order by God himself. This passage of Luke, Mary is in the beginning of the story, and she says, how can this be? We're at the end of the story, and we could say, how can this be? But it is to be. And the reason is verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me, will you read this phrase with me? According to thy word. I have been pastoring up in Marysville since 2007 and preached a lot of messages, a lot of sermons. But it wasn't until the choir sang a few years ago that we actually had a song, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord, that I thought, man, where'd they get that idea of that song? That's a good song. Oh, it's a verse in the Bible. How I've looked over it and read over it and never preached on it. I've preached on it before, but it was definitely later on in the time of our church. This verse says, be it unto me according to thy word. What a wonderful attitude. Mary, how can you have peace about expecting a child that's not Joseph's? What will people say? What will people think? It's okay. Be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. You know, if young people could have that attitude, it wouldn't matter what other kids said at school or growing up or online or wherever the social media influence is. It doesn't matter what you guys think. I'm going to let it be unto me according to thy word. I want the word of God to be what dictates my heart and my life. I don't need anyone else to worry or wonder. I'm just going to let the word of God be what directs me and points me in the future days of my life. Boy, it'd be good if some adults had that attitude. Hey, Lord, I know what your word says. I don't understand how it can work out. I just saw there's balloons up in the ceiling. Amen. Well, here they are. Now everybody else is noticing there's balloons up in the ceiling. Or maybe you already did. I just now noticed it. But whatever comes and whatever may be, Lord, just be it unto me according to thy word. I'll submit to what the book says, and it doesn't matter what I think it should look like. I want the word of God to direct my life. Now, saying that doesn't mean that we're all going to be perfect in it, but the attitude would have to be there if we're ever going to get close to it. If the attitude is, well, I'm going to do whatever I want, and if it matches up, well, that'll be fine, that's a horrible way to live your Christian life. Well, if it works out that my plans and God's plans coincide, then I'll do God's plans. What? How about God's plans are right, and maybe sometimes I might fall short, but I'm still going to know that's the target, and that's what I want to be like. Be it unto me according to thy word. You know, I looked up some passages about this, and I was thinking, how do I tell this story? But in Jeremiah says, according to thy word, as he goes and buys a girdle and wears it and then goes and buries it, I don't know how long he wore it, but he buried it, and then the Lord said, go find it back and dig it up again. I'm like, no one wants to see that thing again. And he goes and digs it up and finds it, and the Lord said, you see how it's worthless and it's marred and it should be thrown away? That's the way Israel is. And Jeremiah lived out a human parable, but he said, be it unto me according to thy word. He went and did exactly what the word of the Lord told him. I don't know where he went to Walmart or Myers or where he found that piece of clothing at, but he was willing to do it because it was according to God's word. Now, you'll never hear that story in a Christmas season ever again, but it happened in the Bible. It just showed you that the man of God was willing to do whatever God said, no matter how it looked or how it appeared to anyone else on the outside. Oh, there's quite a few places, but I want to show you just a couple. Go with me to Psalms chapter 119. Why should we have the attitude that Mary did? Be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't understand how. I don't know if she understood why it had to happen this way. The kids sang that song, such a strange way to save the world. Who wouldn't think it was strange except for God? Because he knew it had to be that way. Psalms 119. Look at verse number 9. Why should we have the attitude, according to thy word, O Lord? First of all, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, what's the phrase? According to thy word. How are you going to clean your way? By taking heed according to thy word. Boy, I really need a new start in life. Don't do it your way. Don't do it somebody else's way, his way, her way. No, do it God's word's way. Hey, why don't you start this year off by reading your Bible every day? Take time to set aside and let God speak to your heart through your ears from his word. Why don't you take the time to pray each night, even in the morning or at noontime? Hey, what if you prayed before every meal? And maybe some of you do already, but wouldn't it be a change of your year if you took every opportunity? I eat 6 times a day sometimes. Amen. That's a lot of prayer. I can get in there. I used to think, Mom, do we have to pray for snacks? Yes, pray for the snacks. Lord bless them. And then one other preacher said, quit asking the Lord to bless your food. That means it's going to grow once you eat it. So don't ask him to bless it. Just ask him to take care of it. Oh, we can laugh and tease, but you'll never pray too much. And the only way you'll cleanse your way is by taking heed according to his word. Find some verses that tell you what to do and do it. Find some principles that you can hold to and follow through with it. Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. And if you and I would have that same attitude, we would clean our way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Go with me to Jonah chapter number 3. Jonah chapter 3. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. What's the phrase say? According to the word. According to the word, he did it. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. What we did not read is that the word of the Lord came on him the first time and he went the other way, didn't he? And when he went the other way, he became the first submarine pilot. Amen. He was deposited right underneath the ocean and stayed there for 3 days and three nights. I don't know what all exactly happened in that belly of the whale, but I think Jonah had a revival in there. And I think that the next time the word of God came, he said, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. I don't need to hear this a third time. One was plenty. I'll go exactly where you want me to go. You know, if the word of the Lord will clean our way, taking heed according to the word will make us go the right way. Make us go the right way. There are a lot of ways, and every way seemeth right to man. There is a way that seemeth right to the man, but the ways thereof are destruction, the end of it. Oh, if you would, you and I would just go according to his word, we'd go the right way. Say, preacher, how do you know what to do in certain circumstances? I think if you know what to do in written circumstances, the unwritten ones will be a lot easier to figure out. Just worry about what you know he tells you to do. Be faithful in God's house. Be faithful to God's word. Be faithful to try to reach out to those who don't know him. You do those things and the little smaller decisions that you say, well, how do I know which way to turn? You do these things that you know are right, and it will be led for you. The path will just be directed, and your steps will be ordered by the Lord himself. Jonah didn't need to get the word of the Lord a third time, because when he got the second time, he says, according to the word of the Lord, Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. It'll clean your way. It'll direct your way, and then go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, That man Simeon, he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Would you read it with me? According to thy word. Oh, it'll clean your way. It'll help you go the right way. And it'll help you go all the way. All the way. Simeon had experienced the last thing that he was waiting for his life to be fulfilled. God gave him a confidence and a word that you're going to see the Lord's Christ. Well, how do you just make that happen? I don't know how old he was, but I assume he's a little older than Dwight is right now. Amen. And however old he was there to see what God had him to see. Don't you hope that you get to fulfill what God has for you to do before your days are over? Wouldn't it be awesome to be ready to go to heaven and know in your heart, I did it. I fulfilled what God wanted me to accomplish in life. I don't know how many people have that assurance before they die. Maybe it's a lot given after we die. And then God says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But Paul was able to say it. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. The crown of life is waiting for me. I'm ready to be offered. What a blessing for Simeon. According to thy word. Now let me depart. I've went all the way. You know, friend, our way is not finished yet. This year's almost finished. This sermon's almost finished. But we're not all the way finished. There's still more to do until Jesus calls us home. There's still more to gain before he comes and takes over the earth. Simeon was able to go all the way according to thy word. Oh, I hope that there's a crown of faithfulness and righteousness to be given to the folks who just continue to go all the way. Not to point anyone here, but I think Eleanor is probably our senior member of the church right now. You don't have to tell how young you are, Eleanor, but I'm so glad to see you tonight. 91 years old. Anybody got her beat? I didn't think so. 91 years young. And on a Sunday night, when how many 30-year-olds are sitting at home watching football when they could be in church serving the Lord? It just amazes me that no one is done until God calls us home. And you want to go all the way with your journey? Just stay according to his word. Just keep doing what the word says. Oh, but preacher, no, don't give me any preacher stuff. You talk to the Lord about it, and he'll say, keep going. He'll say, keep going, keep doing, until you get all the way. What a blessing. Mary didn't understand it, but she said, be it unto me according to thy word, O Lord. And then she had peace to go visit her cousin, and then she had the inspiration of God in Luke chapter 1 to have her words where she claims him to be her Savior. Oh, I don't know every answer of the Bible, but I know this answer. Just keep doing for the Lord. Clean your way. Go the right way. And let's go all the way until we meet Jesus face to face. Every head bowed, every eye closed.